somebody's neck or shake their hand, greet them, say hello, say love you, say glad to see you. Just act friendly and act happy this morning. Man, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. So glad you came and chose to worship with us. I love you too, babe. It's exciting, man. Hey, I'll just start out with a couple of things I want to share with you right quick. Number one is when we met last Sunday, we prayed for our nation, and we knew that when we showed up today, we would have a different president than we had last Sunday. And so, praise the Lord for that. And here's what I want to encourage you in is this. We believe as Bible-believing Christ followers, we believe that the candidate that lines up best with biblical standards and character, we believe that person was put in office in the United States of America. And we believe that was mainly because Christians and men, young men got out and voted, a group that hadn't voted previously. But here's what I want to say to you today. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which were called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, and pray, then I will heal their land and I will forgive their sins. I want to remind you that our faith is not in any president. Our faith is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the future of this nation does not depend upon one man. It depends upon you and I, the born-again, Bible-believing body of Christ, crying out and continuing to pray for our nation. We got to keep praying for our nation. Today we're going to, oh, one more thing. Did y'all notice Cowboy Darren today? I knew if I made fun of his skinny jeans long enough, he'd put on some man's britches. Thank you, Darren. Yes! I'm glad Katie, you didn't wear Katie's britches this morning. Praise the Lord. So, welcome. Yeah, we like to have a lot of fun in case you're a visitor over here. So welcome. We're in week number 8 of our series, Bethel Orchard. We've been talking about how God has not just called us to be believers. God has called us to be fruit producing. God has called us to be an orchard that would produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so today we're in number 8. You know, and I'll tell you this, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't really have an orchard at my house. But we did have some fruit trees at my grandparents' house. How many grew up with some fruit trees somewhere around your parents' or grandparents' house? At my grandparents' house, we had peach trees, apricot trees, and a big old fig tree. I have so many memories, Ricky, you remember it, of the apricot tree. It was a huge apricot tree. My grandparents lived in a little red brick home. There was a chain link fence around the backyard, and from their back porch was a sidewalk that walked to the gate on that chain link fence, and there was that apricot tree. It was so big. It was the biggest apricot tree I've ever seen. It was so big I could climb in it and play in it, and I can't tell you how many times when everybody was gone, I went in the house and put on my red Fruit of the Loom underwear and nothing else, and I played Tarzan and swung from the limbs of that apricot tree. So many memories. Yeah, I guess that's where I just learned to love those fruits. I love peach ice cream. As a matter of fact, you know what? I've been the pastor here for 23 years, and nobody has ever made me peach ice cream yet. Pastor Carter showed up, who is our campus pastor at Sweetwater. He showed up. We were here 6 months. We had an ice cream social, and he declared that Butterfinger was his favorite ice cream. There were 17 freezers of Butterfinger ice cream. It's because you're lazy. You just beat up a little Butterfinger and pour it in the ice cream. I love peach ice cream. I love apricot cobbler, but here's the deal. The problem with those fruits at my grandparents' house, they were only available in season. They weren't available 12 months a year. There was this season where they were ripe. There was this season where everything led up to that, and we could eat them. See, fruit naturally grows in season. It's really hard for us to understand that because in the world we live in, we can go to Market Street at Abilene, or we can go to Walmart at Stanford, and we can buy big, fat, juicy, red, delicious apples 365 days a year. But in the real world, in the wild, that just doesn't happen. That's not even an option. Those apples that we buy in the store, they're grown out of state. They're grown out of our country. They're like grown in controlled environments. They're full of pesticides and chemicals. They're picked before they're ripe. They're boxed up and they're shipped to us. And it's really unhealthy. But the healthiest fruit is the fruit that grows in season, that we can pick, that is grown organically. It is the most nutritious. It is the best thing for us. Real fruit only comes in seasons. Even Jesus understood this. Matthew chapter 21, verse 34. Matthew chapter 21, verse 34. The scripture says this: when the season of the fruit drew near, Jesus sent his servants to the fruit to go get some fruit. Jesus knew when the fruit was ripe, in season and out of season. Now let's talk about something. Let's get it on our level a little bit. Let's talk about me and you. You know what? You and I, we have seasons in our life as well. We may not want to admit it. We may not want to talk about it. We want to act like we're doing good, and we want to act like we're producing fruit, and we want to act like everything is going good in our life. But the fact of the matter is, we are human beings, and we live in a fallen world, and there are seasons. And some of us, you know as good as I do when you're in that good season. I know when I'm preaching good. I know when I'm producing fruit. I know when I'm meeting the needs of Jennifer. I know when I'm being a good father to my kids. I know when I'm producing fruit. But I also know when I'm not even in that summer fruit-producing season, I know when I'm in a wintertime season. Come on, somebody. I know when I'm not at my best. I wonder how many of you know when you're not at your best. We're not at our best. We're not all we're supposed to be. Here's what I want to talk to you about today: embracing the seasons in our life. Because there's seasons. No matter what, you can't avoid them. You can't avoid them. You can't avoid them. I can't avoid them. And it's in the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 3:1. Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything there is a season. And there is a time for everything under the heavens. Seasons. Let's talk about seasons for a minute. How many of you love the springtime? Springtime is when you're coming off of the winter. Everything has been dead. Nothing has been growing. And in the springtime, the grass starts turning green. In the springtime, the mesquites start getting green. The fruit trees begin to put on their leaves. And that's when the fruit trees begin to blossom. Now, I know this sounds a little bit girly, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. Like, there ain't nothing better than riding a horse in the springtime and the wild plums are blooming. Y'all know what kind of smell those things put off? Come on, somebody. I wish Jennifer would wear that perfume, plum, wild plum perfume. I couldn't keep my hands off of you. You did that, baby. I can't keep my hands off of you anyway, just saying. Springtime, it's when things growing. Man, everybody's happy in the springtime, and then summertime comes along, and it starts getting hotter, but there's lots of sunshine. It's long days. The sun is shining, and all of a sudden, those plum thickets, the blooms turn to wild plums. Now, when I was back cowboying in the day, that's what you did in the summer. You picked up bulls. And picking up bulls is a long, hot, slow, boring process. Them old bulls, it ain't really breeding season. It's hot. They're hid off down underneath the cedar tree, down in the bottom of the creek, hiding from everybody, just trying to stay cool. And sometimes it can wear you out. But when you're out gathering bulls, and them plums are that purple color, and they're soft, you can pick those fruit tree. You can pick those plums, and it just brings refreshment to you. There's springtime and there's summertime, and then there's fall. How many of you felt that fall in the air this morning? Like, this is my favorite time of year. You can build a fire on the back porch. You can drink coffee. You're not freezing to death, but you can hang out outside, and the trees, the leaves start changing colors. Can I tell you something about the season of fall? You know what it is? It's a season of change, and there is a beauty in change. Come on, somebody. There's a beauty in change. You don't like change. We don't like change. We want it to stay the same. We like this. We like this season. But there's a beauty of change. And the leaves begin to fall off in the fall. Can I tell you, there is a beauty in letting things go in life and not holding on to them and hanging on to them all the time. And then the next season is winter. It turns cold. The days are shorter. There's not as much sunshine. It seems to be no growth. The branches are empty. It's just these dead limbs. But here's the thing that we got to know about the winter season. In the winter season, the fruit trees may not look good up top, but down underneath where nobody can see, the root system is being strengthened. The root system is growing out. In the wintertime, there's a growth, but it's happening underneath so that in order, the next spring, that tree can produce and hold more fruit than it did last year. There's seasons in life, and you and I have to learn to embrace those different seasons, the good ones, the easy ones, and the tough ones. We got to learn to, in the middle of a tough season, walk by faith and not by sight. How many know we live by faith, not by sight? We got to learn. Here's what we got to do. We got to learn to walk through seasons with a good mindset. With a good mindset. We got to walk through seasons when it's not the season I want it to be in. How about this one? How about when you're transitioning from one season to another? Sometimes that's weird. Sometimes I wake up and it's cold and I got a wild rag and a coat and my gloves on in an hour and a half. I'm burning up and I ain't got nowhere to put all this crap tied on my saddle, put it in the pit. You know what I'm saying? You're transitioning. But here's what we got to do. We got to renew our minds and embrace whatever season we're in with a good attitude and a good faith, trusting God. Renew your minds. How many of you know our mind is where the battle is won or lost? Y'all ain't gonna help me out, are you? Our mind is where the battle is won or lost. You get a bad mindset, you get a bad mindset, you get a bad attitude, you get the whiny-hiney, you get the pity party, you start feeling sorry for yourself, you start thinking God's against you and everybody else is against you and this whole season ain't no good. I'm telling you, the devil will kick your butt. But even when you're walking through a tough time and even when you're going through a winter time and everybody around you is not doing what you want them to do, if you say, you know what, this is the day that the Lord has made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to have a good mindset. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to trust God. You will come out of that season kicking some butt. It's the mind. It's your mind. Look at your neighbor right quick and say, hey, neighbor, it's your mind. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. We got to be like this. Romans 12:2. Y'all know this scripture. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you know we don't want to be like the rest of this world, because this world is griping about every season they're in all the time. Come on, somebody. There's some people that, you know what? They're griping because Donald Trump's in office. But guess what? They would have been griping if Kamala was in office as well. You can't satisfy me. They gripe because it's hot. They gripe because it's cold. They gripe because I preach too long. They gripe because I preach too short. They gripe because it's too hot in here. They gripe because it's too cold in here. Some people, no matter what season they're in, they're just like the rest of the world, and they got a sorry, pitiful way of thinking. It's in the mind. We got to renew our mind. We got to go, you know what? I'm renewing my mind. Here's what I feel like. Here's not what I want. It's not what I want it to be. This ain't what I prayed for. This is not what I anticipated. But this is the season I'm in, and I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to keep my mind in the game. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord. Renew your mind. You say, Cody, oh, you just have no idea what's going on in my life. Cody, I'm just this right here in this season right now. Let me tell you something. I don't know, but I can tell you wherever you are, I've been there as well. And whatever you're going through, everybody in here has been through some tough and rough times. And can I tell you what Paul says is a way to keep your mind right? Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, after you've read all the scripture, after you prayed all the prayers, those are good things, after you've attended church, after you've done all, after you put money in the plate, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything of excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about the good things in your life. Think about the good things in your life. Think about the good things in your life. Quit thinking about, anybody know what I'm talking about? Learn. Here's what we got to do in seasons. Are y'all ready for this? This is my favorite point of the day. When the seasons are good, and the seasons are what you want them to be, learn to have fun and learn to celebrate in the good seasons. Some of you fun-hating suckers don't know how to celebrate no matter what's going on in your life. Because you're so serious, you're so sour, you look like you sucked a lemon, and I can't tell what season you're in or not because you're just always a sourpuss. Learn to cut loose. Listen to me. You're not going to hell for having fun and celebrating a little bit. Even David danced before the Lord. Come on, somebody. Learn to celebrate. Learn to have fun. Embrace the season. And when the seasons get tough, understand, you can't always have fun. Sometimes you got to be serious. It's a tough season, and I'm going to be serious, and I'm going to lean in, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to grow during the tough seasons. If I'm honest with you, and I'm transparent, and I'm telling you the truth, I have grown the most in my life, not during the good and the easy seasons, but during the tough and the hard seasons. Dig in, lean in, always remember this. Always remember whatever season you're going through. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. God's working it out. God's been before us. God's prepared our way. The steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord. God is ahead of us, and no matter what we're feeling or what season we're in, God's working it out for good. Come on, somebody. God's working it out for good. God's working it out for good. God's working it out for good. God is working it out for good. It don't make no sense, and the world thinks you're crazy, and sometimes you think you're crazy, but you got enough faith. God is working it out for good. Just keep loving God. Just keep serving God. Just keep digging into God. God is working it out, and in due season, you are going to reap if you don't faint and if you don't give up. God's working it all out for good. The question we got to ask ourselves is, what season are we in? What season am I in? And I'm going to embrace this season with a good heart, with a good mind, and I'm going to keep on living and loving the Lord. Second thing I want to talk to you about today is this. First is seasons. Embrace the season. Second thing is this. Something that has to happen in season is pruning. When God prunes us. When God trims back the branches of the tree. Trims back. If you have been here much and followed us much, you know you've heard me tell the story of me and Jennifer and my kids and my nanny Cherry going to the peach orchard down at Crosscut, down by Cross Plains. It was a big peach orchard, and we always went down there, and you could pay them a certain amount of money, and you could pick however many peaches you paid them for. We had great memories. We had great times. We had peach cobbler. I think we still got a couple of jars of peach jelly that Nanny Cherry made, you know? It was just good times, and I remember one time Jennifer called the owner. His name was Mr. Childress. And she was talking to Mr. Childress about the peach trees, and he was explaining to her, this year I had to trim the trees back a whole bunch. Those trees have been around forever, and those trees didn't produce quite as much fruit, so I had to go, and I had to trim them. Mr. Childress was like, it may sound silly, but it's hard on me to cut my trees back. Because they're my trees, and I planted them trees, and I worked them trees, and I fertilized them trees. But he knew that he had to trim some branches back so that in order for the next season for them to produce more fruit. Pruning is a spiritual process that needs to take place in my life and your life. Does pruning always feel good? No. Does pruning cause pain? Yes. Does pruning cause separation? But it's what the Word of God says. John 15:1. Let me read you the Word. John 15:1-2. John 15:1-2. Jesus said, I'm the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Good, healthy, fruit-bearing trees need pruning. Let me say this right now. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you would maybe feel like right now God has been pruning some things in my life? And here's what we have the tendency to do, and here's what the devil will do. He'll come in, the devil will lie to us, and the devil will say, if God loved you, he wouldn't be cutting you like that. You wouldn't be feeling this pain, and it is a lie from the pit of hell. Because if you feel God pruning you in your life, and I feel God pruning me, we got to learn to rejoice, because the Bible says the ones that produce fruit are the ones that are going to get pruned. So if you are being pruned, rejoice, because God sees the fruit in your life. You know what the Bible says? Those that produce fruit, he prunes them. But those that are dead and produce no fruit, he cuts them off and throws them away. So thank God you're being pruned today. I'm going to talk to you about a couple things of pruning. There's some things that God is just going to cut away in our life. You know why? Because we don't have the courage to cut them away ourselves. We just want to hang on to them. God knows. God wants to come in and prune those things away. But also, there's something else that you and I can do. You know what you and I can do? There's some things in your life and my life that we can cut away from our own lives, that we don't have to wait for God to do it. It's a spiritual principle. And the spiritual principle is this. It's called repentance. We don't preach about repentance anymore. We don't want to talk about repentance. But repentance is when the Spirit of God comes down to you, Ryan, and says, Ryan, dude, I love you. When the Spirit comes to you, Doc, and says, Doc, I love you. When it comes to you, Ryan, and the Spirit says, Ryan, I love you. But you know what? These things, they're not really bringing any fruit. They're not bringing any edification. You need to repent of those things, cut them out of your life, and go back to God. Can I tell you, I believe that our churches and our world and our nation and our families would be better if we would all not only listen to what the preacher says on Sunday, but if we would listen to the Spirit of the living God and be obedient to repent of the things that he's asking us to cut away in our lives. Repentance, because here's the deal, Matthew 3:8 says this, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I'm going to talk to you about two things. I'll talk to you about the bad things that we need to repent of, but I'm going to talk about some things that aren't really quite so bad that we still need to prune and cut away in our life, because everything that God asks us to cut away, it might not necessarily be sin and it might not necessarily be bad. It's anything that keeps us from living to our full potential in Christ. Here's the thing. Some of us, it's our habits. You know what I had to cut away? It's not sin, but I had to cut it away. The news media. Come on, somebody. As I sit around and watch Fox News, and I get plumbed down, cussing, fighting, mad. And the Lord finally said, if you paid as much attention to me and my words as you did to what the media is, you might grow a little bit and produce some more fruit. So it really wasn't sin, but I had to cut that out of my life. I just quit listening to it anymore. It's these habits that we have. Some of us, can I tell you something real quick? Can I get down to the nut cutting and the nitty gritty with y'all? There is nowhere in the Word of God that says that you can't drink alcohol, and if you drink alcohol, you're going to hell. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of you need to cut alcohol out of your life because it is a bad habit, and it is causing you to say things and do things that you wouldn't normally do, and it's wearing us out. I'm not telling you you're sinning, but I'm telling you, you need to cut it out. Hopefully the Spirit's telling you the same thing. Y'all get quiet, didn't you? Some things we need to just cut out. You know what else sometimes we need to cut out of our lives? Prune? People. People. I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else. I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else, but I am saying this. There are some toxic people in your life that are hindering you and keeping you from being all God has called you to be. And you know what you need to do? Cut them out of your life. And sometimes, can I be honest? Sometimes it can even be your family sometimes. It just can. We gotta be aware. Not ever. Some people are just bad influences on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How about this? What about it? How about sometimes we need to cut out some things on our job and our career? Because when I was ranching, when I was cowboying was my God. I had taken my reputation. I had taken everything that my image about being a cowboy, about the pointed hat and the pointed toe boots and the straight leg Levi's and that 12x15 Bob Morris hat. I'd taken all that and made it a God in my life. And you know what? In order to be what God has called me to be now, I had to cut that out of my life for a while. Well, that hurts, don't it? What about this? Some of you, you're workaholics. You are workaholic. You do it all the time. It's all you can think about. It's all you do. You want to make some money. Workaholic, workaholic, workaholic. And you've done it in the name of I'm a provider. But while you've been doing providing, you are neglecting your marriage. You are neglecting your children. You're neglecting your spiritual journey with God. Sometimes we got to cut some things away from our career and our jobs. Oh, I'm preaching the paint off the walls to y'all today. And then there's these other things we got to cut out. Those are some good things. You got to listen to the Spirit, not me. But then there's some things There's some straight running sin in our life that we need to cut out. There's another thing we don't want to talk about. Sin. Cody, you can't talk about sin because that makes people feel uncomfortable. Cody, you can't talk about sin because you are judging other people. Guess what? I'm judging me and I'm judging you because the Bible said all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we don't like it. We don't want to talk about it. But the Bible says the wages of sin are death. And sooner or later, I don't care how cool you are. I don't care how much swag you got. I don't care what's going on in your life. Sooner or later, if we continue to walk and dabble in the sins of this world, they will catch up and they will destroy us and destroy our relationships and destroy everything I've got. We got to deal with the sins in our life, y'all. We got to deal with the dead things in our life. Some of you, well, this last one, I'm done. I'm moving on. Some of you, you need to cut away the dead things in your life. Because you had a dead marriage, and it was 15 years ago, and it's dead, and it's cut away, and you need to get rid of it out of your life. Quit letting it define you. Quit letting it hover over you. Get rid of dead relationships. Quit getting rid of dead mistakes. Quit, cut out the things of the past. Here's the thing. If you listen to the Spirit, you and I both know what the things are for us personally that we need to prune in our life, that we need to cut out. Because we know. They're keeping us from being obedient. We got to repent, we got to prune, and we got to cut away. We have to overcome the pain, and we have to prepare for a greater crop next season. I'm going to say one more thing. Conrad, y'all come help me close. I'm going to say one more thing about the sin thing. It is, listen to me, everybody look at me. Stop, Cornbread. Never mind. Hang on a second, because I need them to look at me. And they'll look, if you come walking up here, all they'll see is that booty as you walking up on stage. And for some of y'all, that's a sin because you're looking at his booty. I'm just saying that. Sorry, Tub. I can't help it. Here's the thing about sin right quick. Listen to me. Give me your eye. Look. One more time. I promise you, for those of you in here today, sin is a troubling thing. And when the Holy Spirit starts convicting us, it's uncomfortable. I want you to know if right now you're feeling like something inside of you and the Lord is speaking to you and you know you need to make some changes, God is not condemning you saying that you're no good. He is only convicting you saying you are better than your sins and trying to push the needle forward and move you closer to the cross. And can I tell you something? It is much better off if we will listen to the Spirit and have courage and deal with our sins ourselves. It is much better if we will prune those, cut those away, and repent of those sins than if we keep dabbling in it and let the explosion happen and let it blow up, and then it's a mess on everybody all around you. We gotta repent of our sins and cut them away in our lives. Conviction moving us forward, pushing us forward. Now, Conrad, come on. Please, sir. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to close just with a little bit of time of prayer. We're going to close with a little bit of worship. But I would just ask you, what season do you find yourself in right now? What season are you in? You got to own that. You got to have some discernment. You got to have some eyesight, some spiritual eyesight. You got to look at your life. You got to look at your marriage. Look at the relationship with your kids. Look at your walk with Christ. What season are you in? And as you begin to look and you go, you know what, really, I'm kind of in this season. Then you need to embrace that season. With a good mindset. With a good heart, because I'm telling you, God's working for you. Your mindset is everything. For some of you, come in here in the middle of a winter season. Right now, you got to just renew your mind. Renew your mind right now. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Because the devil has got you whiny and the world's got you whiny and you're pouting and you're upset and you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're feeling like a victim and you know what? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. You have the power to renew your mind through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Renew your mind. Let the joy of the Lord come back into your life. Let the joy of your salvation come back into your heart. Let faith arise and let your enemies be scattered. Faith come alive. Faith, rise up. Out of our belly would begin to flow rivers of living water. Faith, faith that can move mountains. Faith that can bring healing. Faith that can bring restoration. Jesus said, it is by your faith you are healed. Let our minds rise up. Enemy, we rebuke you. We cast out any kind of stronghold. We cast out any kind of darkness, any kind of depression, any kind of lie that the enemy may have spoken over the lives of anyone in this room, Lord. And we pray right now that you would renew their minds. Lord, that we would be open. If we would just be open and we would just surrender our mind to you right now, God. Surrender our minds. Some of us, it's a struggle right now. It's hard to surrender our mind. It's hard to surrender our mind because our mind has been toxic. Our mind has been full of hate. Our mind has been on the defense. Our mind has been offended. Lord, just right now, let us surrender our minds. For a moment, stop and be still and stand still and see your salvation. And in that moment of surrender, you would renew our minds. Renew our minds. As a man thinks, so is he. As you renew our mind, Lord, let our thinking begin to change. Let our perspective begin to change. Let our heart begin to change, Lord. And as our minds change, Lord, let us embrace that season. For those that need to celebrate, God, let us have a celebratory mind. Let us celebrate. Let us laugh. Let us hoop and let us holler. For those of us that are going through the fall and things are changing, Lord, let us see the beauty in the change and the beauty in letting go. And for those of us that are in the winter with our renewed mind, let us just dig in and say, God, I don't see it, but God, I know you're doing it. God, I know you're doing it, and I trust you completely, God. Let us embrace the pruning that God puts on our life. As a matter of fact, here's a prayer for you to pray. Pray, God, prune me. Say, cut it away, God. Whatever it is, cut it away. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We love you. We really do love you, Lord, and we really want to be all that we can be for you. We want to produce more fruit than ever. So speak to us, challenge us as we close today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Y'all stand up on your feet and let's close with a song of worship.